Good morning, everyone. It's great to see you this morning. My name's Nathan. I'm one of the other pastors here. And we're together this morning going to be thinking about our verse for the year, hearing what God has to say to us as we embark on 2023 together. I know we're a week in, but it's still pretty new in the year, isn't it? So we can think about the year ahead together. Just to explain, our verse for the year comes right in the middle of Jesus teaching his disciples about what life is going to look like and be like when he has gone to the cross, risen from the dead, and returned to heaven. How are his disciples going to live without him around in person? What are they going to do? What's life going to be like? And just as he was teaching them that's what life would be like, that is exactly the situation we find ourselves in today, isn't it? We find ourselves living here on earth without Jesus here with us in person, the human Jesus Christ. We don't have him in person, but he's teaching us what it looks like to live with him away in heaven and us here on earth. And so we're going to get our Bibles open this morning. Boys and girls, the reading will appear on the screen. John chapter 15 this morning. John chapter 15, you'll find that on page 1083. If you do need a Bible, please raise a hand. One of our team would love to bring you a Bible so that you can follow along. John chapter 15, verses 1 to 17, and Sam is going to come and read that for us. Thanks, Sam.
I am true vine.
Oh, sorry.
Hello? Come on. Great. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other.
Thanks, Sam. Well, let's pray, shall we? And ask for God's help that he would teach us. We've just sung, haven't we, that he'd open up our eyes and he'd open up our ears. And we long for God this morning to open up our hearts. I do hope that you come to church with an expectation that God will speak to us through his word, the Bible. This is no ordinary book. It lives. It's a living book, an active book, as God takes his word and his spirit and applies it to our hearts. And so I'm going to seek God's help now that he would take these words of scripture and he'd rub them in, administer to them to us in the ways that we need to hear it today. So let me pray to that end. Our God and our Father in heaven, we want to thank you this morning for your words of life, for the words of scripture. Father, we thank you for these teachings of the Lord Jesus, who was preparing his disciples for his departure, was preparing his disciples for life without him there in person, to walk with and talk with and eat with. Father, we thank you for these words of Jesus that prepare them for the work they were about to do. And we ask, Father, that we would take these words of Jesus spoken thousands of years ago and you would make them words for us today. Words that teach us and train us and cause us to find our joy and our life in Jesus. Father, we believe in your Holy Spirit and we ask that he would today cause these words of Scripture, whether we're young here or a bit older, to live in us and to have a deep effect upon us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, if you are a follower of Jesus here this morning, whether you are young and part of our kids' work or whether you're a little bit older, if you're a follower of Jesus, I wonder what you want out of 2023. What do you want as a Christian from 2023? Perhaps some of us here long to just be a little bit more sure about Jesus' love for us. Is that true for some of us? Would you like to be more sure? Good, three of you would like to be more sure. That's good. That's not a rhetorical question. Would you like to be more sure about Jesus' love for you? Yes. That's a good thing, isn't it? Sometimes we can feel quite insecure as Christians, and we fluctuate, don't we? Does he love me? Does he love me not? How I perform today often affects how I feel. Do you want to be a more obedient Christian in 2023? Yes. Are there things in your life, particular sins that you're struggling with and wrestling with, perhaps those outbursts of anger or those looks of lust or the things that you're spending your time looking at on the internet or scrolling through your phone? Would you like to see some of those things conquered and behind you as you pass through 2023? Yes. Would you like to experience deeper, more loving, more sacrificial friendships within the church family in 2023? Would you? Some of you would. Friends, would you like to see other people become Christians? Yes. If that is true for you in 2023, if that is what you desire, if that is genuinely what you're longing for, and other things in 2023 as a Christian, then how do we go about that as a church? How do we reach those ends? How do we reach those goals? How do we take hold of what we might call fruitfulness? Real change, real joy, real progression in our Christian life. Really seeing other people come to trust the Lord Jesus Christ. How do we go about that? Well, our verse for the year tells us, Jesus tells us that one thing is needed. And what is that thing? Have a look, see if you can spot it. Again, that's not a rhetorical question. Guys, we're going to have to interact a little bit more this morning, or else this isn't going to work very well. What is it? Remain in me. Do you see that right in the middle of our verse? Remain in me. Jesus doesn't give us a 10-step program to productivity. If you want one of those, go to Waterstones and pick up a book on productivity. Jesus doesn't give us kind of 7 steps to a better life. He simply says to us, remain in me. There you go. That's our first thing that we're going to remember. Boys and girls, we need an action for this morning. Okay, so we're going to have this. So this is what we're going to say for remain, okay, because it's like standing on the spot. Remain in Jesus. Can we do that together? 1, 2, 3. Remain in Jesus. That is what Jesus wants us to do. If you've got your Bible, kids, you can look over your parents' shoulder, have a look on the Bible. John chapter 15, verse 5, right in the middle of our verse, Jesus says, if you remain in me and I in you. And if you just scan up a verse back to verse 4, Jesus says, remain in me. It's a command. He says, this is what you must do. This is what life looks like as Jesus goes away. He says, you've got to remain in me. If we want to see real change, real joy, real progress, real fruitfulness in our lives as Christians, if you want to see those deepening, loving, sacrificial friendships growing in church, to be loved like that and to love others like that, then Jesus says, can we do it? Remain in Jesus. Remain in him. That's the big point. If we take nothing else away today, that's the big point that Jesus is making in this part of John's gospel. This word that we translate, remain, appears 12 times in these 17 verses. The word to remain, or if you're an older Christian here and you used to use another translation, or you still use another translation, you might get the word abide. Brilliant, you get the word abide. It means to stay. So I have a dog, and I try to get my dog to stay. So we're out in the park, right, you stay there, stay, remain. And I walk off and they stay, or hopefully she stays where she's put, but she doesn't very often. Stay, that's what we mean, stay in the place that you're put. Or I tried to get one of my kids out of bed, I won't look at any of them. I tried to get one of my kids out of bed over the Christmas break. No, I want to stay in bed. I want to remain in bed. I want my relationship with my duvet and my pillow to continue just a little bit longer. That's what it means to remain, to stay somewhere. And those are kind of silly things, but think about a relationship. Relationships that have lasted a long time. What is that? It's about remaining together, isn't it? Think of a married couple who've been together for the whole of their life. What have they done? They've remained together. And when Jesus says, remain in me, he is talking about having a continual and a permanent relationship, connection to him. That's what Jesus says is the key to growing in those things in life. Remain in me. And what does it look like to remain in Jesus? Well, I want us to think about it with two words this morning. Here it is. This is what I think Jesus means. Jesus says, can we say these together? Trust and obey. To have an ongoing and permanent connection to the Lord Jesus Christ, to remain in him, means to live a life of trust and dependence and faith on the Lord Jesus that expresses itself in our obedience to the Lord Jesus. Does that make sense? A life of dependent trust, faith, belief in Jesus, that in your daily walk with him, where walk through life, expresses itself in obedience to the Lord Jesus. Remaining in Jesus, first of all, means belief. It means trust. You become a disciple of Jesus. Most of us in this room who are disciples of Jesus came to believe in him, and that life then goes on believing in him. You trust in the Lord Jesus as all we need. It's a daily posture of dependence. John tells us, let me put it up on the screen. Hopefully it will come up. This is what John tells us at the end of his gospel. He says that he wrote down these things about the Lord Jesus so that you may believe. It's the same word. There's one word, believe. It translates a Greek word that we can use, trust or belief or faith or dependence. These are written that we may put our trust in the Lord Jesus as the Messiah, the Son of God. These are written that you may believe. And we go on. Many scholars who engage with John's gospel think that phrase doesn't just mean that you may believe, but it means you go on believing. That these things are written that a group of people like us might keep trusting Jesus, have a daily dependence on Jesus, a posture of trusting in him. So the first thing about remaining in Jesus is a life of trust. I trust Jesus as the Messiah, the Savior, the Lord. I trust him as God. But it also means obeying. So what does it look like? I mean, if I was just to wander around the streets and look at people, you couldn't tell if someone was trusting in Jesus just by looking at them. But our trust expresses itself in obedience. That's how you know if someone's remaining in Jesus. See, if you've got a Bible, have a look at verse 9 and 10. This is what Jesus goes on to say. In fact, I'm not sure if I put it up on the screen. Let's have a look. No, I didn't. Let's have a look at verse 9 and 10. Oh, yes, it is there. Oh, sorry. Thank you. If that goes back up. Here it is. Let's look at this. As the Father has loved me, Jesus says, So I have loved you. Now remain in my love. So let's just follow that for a second. The Father has loved the Lord Jesus. And as the Father has loved Jesus with that powerful, unbreakable, eternal love, so Jesus loves us, disciples. That's amazing, isn't it? With that same love. And he says, now remain in my love. What is that love? Look down at verse 13. Greater love has no one than this, than he lays down his life for his friend. That's how much Jesus loves us. And he says to us, look, remain in my love. Remain in this place where you trust that my death and my resurrection are the things that deal with our sins and bring us close to God. Remain in my love. But how? Look at verse 10. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love. You see that? It's trust and obedience. Obedience and trust as a combination, faith expressing itself through obedience, is how we stay permanently connected to the Lord Jesus Christ. Remaining in Jesus. Can we do that together? Remaining. I've got to put my Bible down. I've run out of hands. Remaining in Jesus is a life of trust. Can we say that together? Trust and obedience. An ongoing, continual, permanent life of trusting him and keeping his commands. That's what it looks like to remain in the Lord Jesus. And I want to say to you, is that you? Is that you today? As you embark on 2023, are you someone who is seeking to remain in Jesus? Daily dependence and daily obedience. And the thing about our verse for the year, that's what Jesus talks about. I know we haven't got very far. We've only done three words, remain in me. Okay, don't worry. It's going to speed up a little bit in a minute. When Jesus says remain in me, our verse for the year tells us that that's not just a kind of here's a way to improve your life in 2023. Just remain in Jesus. Actually, Jesus tells us it's crucial. It's necessary to remain in him. Do you notice that at the very end? What does it say? The bit that we almost got to at the end. What does it say? Very end. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And so actually, what we're going to remember this morning, boys and girls, is this. We must. I need an action for we must. How would we do that? How could we do we must? Bernie's thinking about it. What could we do? If someone says you've got to must do something. Oh, I was thinking more like that. I was wagging my finger. It's the sort of parent I am. Like, we must, Howard, we must do this. So let's have a waggy finger, if that's all right. Let's go waggy finger. So we must remain in Jesus. Can we do that? One, two, three. We must remain in Jesus. Because apart from him, separated from him, the Bible tells us that we can do nothing. And our verse for the year helps us to understand why, to see why remaining in Jesus is so crucial. And the first reason is this. We must remain in Jesus for life. Can we do that? So we must remain in Jesus, and then we're going to have a heart, for life. For eternal life. And boys and girls, how does Jesus start? What's the very first thing he tells us in our verse for the year? Anyone want to say it out? What does he say? I can't see any of them today. Where are they all scattered? Oh, yes, there we go. What does he say? Brilliant. Did everyone hear that? He says, I am the vine. That's what Jesus says. I am the vine and you are the branches. Jesus takes us right into a vineyard and he talks about him being the vine or the trunk, and believers, disciples, are like branches. Now, Jesus takes us to this image to understand something really, really important about remaining in him, about living this life of trust and obedience to him. Because think of a branch. Now, I know we're not allowed to do this, but has anyone ever ripped a branch off a tree? I know we shouldn't probably talk about that because it's not allowed. You're not allowed to do it. Yeah, a few of you are putting hands up. If you've ever done it, so we go walking with a dog sometimes in a woods. And sometimes, just occasionally, we might pull a branch off a tree for whatever reason. But if you come back on the same walk, what's happened to that branch? It's dead. It's lying on the floor, its leaves have withered up, the branches drying up because it's disconnected from the trunk. Jesus says, I am the vine, I am the source of life, and you are the branches. Without me, you can do nothing. Think about it like this. Maybe a tree and branches isn't the thing for us, but think about this vacuum cleaner for a moment, okay? Here it is. Right now, that vacuum cleaner is dead, okay? It doesn't do anything. It doesn't fit for purpose. Look, I can get it working. It doesn't do anything. It's not cleaning up anything. I can press all the buttons. It's disconnected, isn't it? And it's dead. But as soon as I plug it in, as soon as I connect it to the electricity over here, ooh, comes to life. And it can do its thing. Look, it can clean up the... Oh, actually, it needs a bit of a hoover up here. Look, so we can clean up. It's got life because it's connected. And Jesus is telling us that it's exactly the same for us. That as we are connected to him, as we live this life of trust and obedience to him, his life, his energy, his spirit flows in us. His life and his love come to us. Now that begs the question, doesn't it? What kind of life is he talking about? Because actually you can wander out of here now and there's lots of people who don't want anything to do with Jesus and they seem to be doing just fine. They're walking around, they have life, they have energy, they can wiggle their fingers, they can breathe. So what kind of life is Jesus talking about? Well, Jesus is talking about eternal life. He's talking about the life of knowing God. Listen to John 17, verse 3. Oh, there's the vine and the grapes and the branches. But this is what Jesus says. Now, this is eternal life, that they may know you, God, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. The life that Jesus gives as we are connected to him is the life of knowing God and being in relationship with God. In the Old Testament, in Isaiah chapter 5, God speaks about his people as a vine. He speaks about the nation of Israel as a vine. In Isaiah 5, he speaks of them as a vineyard, and he came and he expected fruit from them, and he didn't find anything, but he speaks of them as a vine. And in Psalm 80, he speaks about Israel as the true vine that he's picked up from Egypt and planted into the land. They're a vine. And if you, at the time of the Old Testament, wanted to meet God and know God and be forgiven by God and connect with God, then you had to go to the vine. You had to go to this nation, Israel, to meet God and be connected with God. But Jesus tells us, look at what Jesus tells us in our verse. He says, I am the vine. And if you've got your Bible there, grown-ups, look at chapter 15, verse 1. He says, I am the true vine. So if you want to be in relationship with God, if you want to experience his forgiveness, if you want to experience life of knowing God, then that life now comes through Jesus, through connecting to him, through trust in him, through belief in him. If you want eternal life, Jesus says, then you have to connect to me. You have to be grafted into me. You have to be a branch that's connected to me. We remain in Jesus, the one who, verse 13, laid down his life so that we might have life. See, what's the alternative to being connected into Jesus? Well, look at verse 6. It's perishing. You know, think about a vacuum cleaner that's not plugged in. That's us. Think about a branch that's been ripped off a tree and is on the ground and withering up and dying and its leaves all shriveling up. That's us, disconnected from Jesus. That's how we'll stay disconnected from Jesus. But Jesus tells us that he gives us life. Listen to these words again from the end of John's Gospel. This is what he tells us about his book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, by connecting yourself permanently to the Lord Jesus, you may have life in his name. eternal life. Friends, your relationship with God, the relationship that starts now and will last for eternity, is dependent wholly upon your connection to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he's saying to us when he says, I am the vine and you are the branches. No Jesus, no life with God. We're like a vacuum cleaner that's not plugged in, a branch that's been ripped off the tree. And wonderfully, as we remain in Jesus, what does he say? As I remain in you. When we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, he promises us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who is his life, is his spirit, who lives in us, who remains in us. And so Jesus' life and his love flows in us. The Holy Spirit who, John 3, brings us life. The Holy Spirit who convicts us of sin and brings us to believe the truth about Jesus. The Holy Spirit who convinces us of the love of Jesus flows in us. See, we must remain in Jesus for life. And so for some of you here this morning, I want to ask you, are you believing in Jesus? Are you yet connected to the Lord Jesus Christ? Connecting ourselves to Jesus means turning away from the life of saying, well, we don't need Jesus, we don't need God, we can do life our way, and it means turning to Jesus. In repentance and trust and saying, Jesus, you laid down your life so that I could have life. Jesus, I trust you. I want to be part of your eternal people. Will you do that this morning? Maybe some of you who are young haven't done that yet. Maybe some of you who are older haven't done that yet. That's what it means to start a life of remaining in Jesus. Trust him. And for those of us that are here, that are trusting him, do we live a life that is staying joined to Jesus? Do you live your life dependently, like your eternal life only comes from him? Does your life show that? No Jesus, no life. But secondly, we must remain in Jesus. Can we do this together? Let's do this. We must remain in Jesus for life. But here's the second thing Jesus teaches us in our verse for the year. We must remain in Jesus for fruit. Now, what we're going to do is be a tree. Can you do this? And then I don't know how this represents fruit, but this can be fruit, okay? The waggly fingers is fruit. So, we must remain in Jesus for fruit. That's the second thing Jesus teaches us in our verse for the year. Now, here is a picture. Take us back to the vineyard. Here it comes. So you can see there's the trunk, and behind the leaves are some branches. But what's growing on those branches? What's growing on those branches? Anyone? Yeah, what's growing? Oh, yes. It's grapes. Grapes are growing. Fruit is growing on the branches. Now, that's what you'd expect, isn't it? That's what you'd hope for. If you were growing something, you would want there to be fruit. And Jesus says that we should expect the same thing as we remain connected to him. So look at the verse. It says, if you remain in me and I in you, so that's if we live this ongoing, dependent life of trust and obedience, he says, you will bear fruit. It's a promise. As we live dependently on the Lord Jesus and we express that dependence in our obedience, our lives we'll start to show that we're his disciples, that we're connected to him. I'm rubbish at growing things, okay? We as a family attempted to grow some cucumbers in the summer this year. Was it summer this year? It was somewhere around there, wasn't it? And we thought we were doing really well. This thing went wild. So it literally, these things just grew all over our conservatory. These great kind of long things just popped out. And we were, you know, every morning we'd look down expectantly. Oh, where are the cucumbers coming? And this thing just kept growing and there wasn't a cucumber in sight. And it was so frustrating because you think, well, we're growing it for cucumbers and this thing is taking over our conservatory. And you're so disappointed because you grow with the expectation to get the fruit. Now, eventually, you will be pleased to hear that they did grow cucumbers. They were mini cucumbers. Not that mini, actually. That's really mini. They actually grew a bit bigger, but they started as these piddly little things. We're thinking, is that really a cucumber? And then suddenly it kind of becomes a cucumber. But if a plant doesn't grow fruit, you're so disappointed. And Jesus says that when we believe in him, we will grow fruit. That's our purpose. That's what he's made us for, appointed us for. Verse 16. But what kind of fruit does Jesus mean? What kind of fruit do you grow? So if you buy an apple tree, what do you expect to see on an apple tree? Grapes? Pears? Nathan, you're my kind of gardener, Nathan, I think. That's what's going on. So what kind of thing would you expect to see on an apple tree? Apples. Yeah, if you buy an orange tree, what do you expect on an orange tree? Oranges. It's very simple. But what kind of a fruit do you expect to see on a Christian, someone who is remaining in Jesus? Well, as you read this bit of the Bible, lots of people want to pin Jesus down to meaning one thing. Jesus must mean this, or he must mean this. I think actually it's right here to say that Jesus is expecting all kinds of fruit. As you read through the New Testament, you'll find that it talks about fruitfulness and fruit in all sorts of ways. It talks about new Christians, people becoming Christians as fruit. It talks about the fruit of the Spirit. Many of us will know that, the fruit of the Spirit as he lives in us, all sorts of characteristics grow in our life. Anything that happens in your life because you're connected to Jesus is fruit. But let me just give you five quick things that Jesus tells us will be fruit in this part of the Bible, John 15, will be fruit as we trust him. So I'm going to need five people. Let's have number one. Who's going to come and help me first of all? Yeah, come up, Eleanor. Let's go. You can be my first fruity tree. Here it is. You're going to jump on up. So put out your fruity tree arms, and then you can hold this up there. You go. There's your first bit of fruit. You come this way. So the first one is answered prayer. Grown-ups, if you've got your Bible, boys and girls, see if you can peer over. Verse 7. This is a fruit of connected to Jesus. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Now, we haven't got time to unpack all of that, but here's the point. As we stay connected to Jesus and Jesus' teaching stays deep within us, then the things we pray for are the things that Jesus loves to answer. And so as we remain in Jesus, we get the fruit of? Wonderful. Now, Eleanor, because you've got such a good fruity tree arms, you're going to be my second bit of fruit as well. You ready? So here's the next one. Just check this in order. It's this one, verse 10. Have a look. Obedience to Jesus. So have a look at verse 10. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. Now, once again, if you are connected and remaining in Jesus and trusting and obeying him, that leads to a life of more obedience. And so you see who are the fruity trees because their lives are living lives of obedience to Jesus. They want to do his commands. You're making a great fruity tree. Can I have another fruity tree for a second? Yeah, come on up. And Nathan, you can come and be a tree for me as well. I'll give you a bit of fruit in a minute. Come this way. Well done. You can maybe go out front. You can have fruity arms out front. This one. Come over this way. There we go. Don't trip over the vacuum cleaner. You go. We can hold this one. What's that one? Verse 11. Let's have a look. It says, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. Now, I'm going to get you some fruit in a minute, Nathan. Okay? You're a good man. Just standing over there. So here's joy. Now, who doesn't want to be more joyful this year? You want to be more joyful? Yes. And Jesus says, look, if you remain in me and you trusting and obeying me, you will have more joy. Now, our world is joy hunting, isn't it? That is what we do. But true joy, deep joy, heart joy is found in Jesus as you remain in him, as you trust and obey him. And it's an act of faith to pursue that, friends, because our world tells us to look for joy everywhere we go. But we look for it in Jesus. So your joy will be complete. Nathan, I'm going to give you some fruit. You're doing a great job there. We're hurtling through these, forgive me. Number 12, hold that up, Nathan. What's that one? Fruity tree. What does it say? Love for others. Look at verse 12. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. How has Jesus loved us? Verse 13, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. Deep, loving friendship that looks like Jesus, that reflects Jesus' love. If you start to see people loving like Jesus, you can say, oh, look, that's a fruit. That person must love Jesus and trust and obey Jesus. And Jesus' love is now flowing in them and flowing out to others. That's a fruit. So do you want to look like that fruity tree? Yes. This church would be an amazing place and is an amazing place when we love one another like the Lord Jesus Christ. I need one others. We're hurtling through. Yeah, come on up, Dominic. Sorry, William. I tell you what, you can come and have one of Eleanor's fruit. Come on. You can be my fruity tree as well. Come on, William, you can be obedience. Dominic, come on up. There you go, William. You can be the obedience to Jesus fruity tree. And then we've got one more here. Hold it up nice and high, Dominic. What's this one say? Leading others to Jesus. Wonderful. Leading others to Jesus. Look at verse 16 with me, will you? You did not choose me, Jesus said, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. And so whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. The fruit that Jesus promises is fruit of seeing other people come to see the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. He's got particular fruit in mind here. So here's the fruity trees, okay? Wow, our time is disappearing. So we're gonna hurtle through now. So if you are remaining in Jesus, this is the fruit that we can expect to see in our lives. These are fruity trees. Guys, just give these guys a round of applause. Thank you. Just pop the fruit down on the floor. Thanks for helping us out. Good. Right, our time is gone. So let's just think about this. Let's try and wrap this up, okay? Without Jesus, he says, apart from me, you can do nothing. It would be a bit like me taking a bag of apples from Lidl and going and pinning them on the conker tree out there and saying, hey, look, everyone, there's an apple tree outside. If you just try and work at those things, if 2023 is all about, oh, I just want to be a little bit more fruitful in those areas, then it'll be like nailing apples to the conker tree. But when we remain in Jesus, when we stay connected to him, he says we will bear much fruit. If you're struggling for fruitfulness in your life, if you're thinking, I'm just not seeing much answered prayer, I'm not feeling much joy, I'm really struggling to fight certain sins in my life. I'm really struggling to love others like Christ has loved me. Then the answer, according to Jesus, might be that we need to remain in him. We need to connect ourselves permanently. I have a life that has a posture of being connected to Jesus in trust and obedience. Jesus says, remain in me as I remain in you, and you will bear much fruit. So friends, here we go. Our time's gone. I have some more to say, but we'll leave it there. Here we go. Can we say this together? In 2023, we must remain in Jesus for life and for fruit. Should we pray to that end for us as a church? God, our Father, we want to thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that he is the true vine. We thank you that he remained in your love and he kept your commands and he laid down his life for us that we might have life. Oh, we praise you for Jesus this morning, who is the vine, and we want to stay connected to him permanently in trust and obedience as the source of life and the way that we will bear fruit. Father, please, would we remain in him in 2023? Would we be a church that increasingly depends upon him for eternal life and for all things? And would we be a church that's obeying his commands, especially his command to love one another? Father, please, would we be a fruitful church this year as we remain in him? And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.